Hello and welcome to Ag PhD Radio. I'm Darren Hefty.
And I'm Brian Hefty. Thanks a lot for joining us today. Today in the show, we're going to talk a little about nitrogen stabilizers, but we would be more than happy to take your phone call and talk about anything going on your farm. Our phone number here is 844-44-AG-PHD. That's 844-442-4743. You can email us, radio@agphd.com, or send us a note on Twitter, AgPhD Media, Darren Hefty, or Brian Hefty. Darren, I just remember when I was I'm trying to think if I was an agronomist yet or just on the farm, but I just remember when our dad in the fall would talk about, yep, I'm going to put nitrogen on, I'm going to put anhydrous on. I'd never, ever put urea on or 28, but anhydrous, yep, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to put probably 15, 20, 30 extra pounds out there just in case I lose some going into the spring. I think back on that. Now, granted, if you're going to lose it because it goes up in the air, it's really not going to hurt anything. Think about how much of our air is nitrogen anyway. So that's no big deal. But what I worry about is leaching. If you are putting nitrogen on ground that could potentially have some leaching issues, well, yeah, it's lost money for you. And you say, it's no big deal. I only lost 5, 10, 15 bucks an acre on lost nitrogen. That's one side of it, but let's think about the environmental concerns. So because of that, we really stress anymore careful use of nitrogen and also use of these nitrogen stabilizers, especially in certain situations, because if you can keep that nitrogen in the ammonium form longer, just don't forget your soil is negatively charged. Ammonium is positively charged. Ammonium isn't going anywhere. What's going somewhere is nitrate. So when ammonium converts over to nitrate, that's when we have the problem. So the longer we can keep it in the ammonium form, the better off we are.
That's a couple of great points there, Brian, especially coming out of the 2018 growing season and the extreme weather that we had in different areas of the country. And I can't tell you how many farmers I've talked to that said, well, I got 20 inches more precip than a normal year. And it was just crazy, or even worse. And then you look at some of the storms on the East Coast and this kind of thing. We've got to be smart about what we're doing, because when non-farmers look at what we're doing, they're nervous about it. They don't understand what we're doing, and they see big equipment out in fields. And it's like, oh, my goodness, they must be putting just tons and tons of stuff out there. And
we don't care about that side, though, Darren. What we care about is, are we doing the right thing or the wrong thing for the environment?
Right.
And you look at, like, Denmark, for example. Darren and I were in Denmark about 10 years ago, and they prohibit nitrogen use above a certain poundage per acre for farmers. So once you put on that amount, you're done. You can't put any more on. Why is that? Because there was too much nitrate found in the water.
Well, and you look at nitrate levels in the water, and this is an interesting thing I've seen out of University of Minnesota and Iowa State University, and others have looked at studies where they've applied no nitrogen to fields, and they see a certain level of nitrate in the water the time.
Yeah, you're absolutely going to have that.
I mean, you look at our atmosphere, and I think anytime anybody brings this up, well, I'm worried about nitrogen getting, you know, in this place or that place. It's like, well, wait a second now. What are you breathing in? It's almost all nitrogen. And yeah, we don't want to have super high levels of nitrate in the water on the farm. We don't want to have it anywhere. We want to control what we're doing. We know we're being watched. So it's important that we manage our practices on the farm to try to minimize any off-the-farm impact that we may have on the environment, which honestly, for the most part, Brian, we're doing. But like you brought up an old practice of, well, I'll just put a little extra on because I don't want to spend the money on the stabilizer. Or at that time, maybe there wasn't even a stabilizer to use. It's really changing. We're seeing targeting, getting that nitrogen on as the crop needs it, where they can, whether that's a side dress or a Y-drop type application, or if it's through a pivot, timing that out a little bit in terms of what growth stage are we at, how much nitrogen do we need now, and these kinds of things. But we certainly see, and I don't want to get to this, like you talked about Denmark, where we just can't use the amount that our crop actually needs. That scares me a little bit if we see limits on nitrogen that just don't make sense. If we're using the nitrogen, there's no problem. It's if we're putting it on recklessly that we can get in trouble. Now, fortunately, nitrogen costs enough. It's so expensive, it's hard to do that.
By the way,
hard to put it on in excess.
Yes, by the way, to your point, I just looked real quick because I couldn't remember what the percentage they say of our air is nitrogen. 78%. 78%. So you think about that and you go, man, isn't there some way we could harness that nitrogen out of the air? Well, with soybeans, they do. Now, they might not be able to provide 100% of what the soybean plant's going to need, but certainly some of it. So hopefully we can find more nitrogen-fixing bacteria that maybe could help corn, for example, in the future, or wheat. Wouldn't that be amazing? There is work being done on that, believe it or not. The other thing that I was going to say is we talk a lot about when nitrogen stabilizers are more likely to pay. So just like anything else out there, there are times when it is going to work for you and times when it's not. And what we're trying to do here is play the odds because we, quite frankly, don't know what the weather is going to be, right? So you have to play the odds. So here's my short list of when are nitrogen stabilizers more likely to pay. First, when nitrogen rates are high. Two, when nitrogen prices are high. Three, in lighter soils. Let's talk about how far in advance that nitrogen is used or when it's going to sit on top of the soil for at least a couple of days or more. You also want to look at when your soil pH is outside the range of 6.3 to 7.3, when temperatures are warm, in wetter years, and certainly when you have environmental concerns. So those are kind of the things that I look at. That's a list of 9 different things there.
Yeah, we'll break down those and start looking at some of the different products that are out there too, because if you're raising a crop like corn, for example, or wheat, you're definitely going to need some nitrogen for the crop. But even for other crops like soybeans, we'll talk about when nitrogen might be a smart move for you and what situations it might pay a little bit more on your farm. We'll also take your calls and questions throughout today's show. Our phone lines will be open at 844-44-AG-PHD. You can send us an email, radio@agphd.com. Or find us on Twitter, AgPhD Media, Brian Hefty, or Darren Hefty. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
No two seasons are the same, so you need your crops to rise ready for whatever's in store. Now, there's one simple decision that provides coverage on 4 fronts. The Acceleron portfolio offers protection against disease, insects, nematodes, and even moisture or nutrient stress. In the fight against the unpredictable, rise stronger with Acceleron seed treatment products. Learn more at AcceleronSAS.com/rise-ready. Performance may vary. It's important to use proper PPE when handling treated seed.
Customer service goes a long way when trying something new. Ryan Shaw from Michigan shares how Soil Warrior helped him transition to strip tillage in his operation.
The Soil Warrior guys, they are amazing to work with. They made this jump in this transition extremely painless. One question that I get all the time is, how is the service and everything? And I said, well, actually, I get better service from them than I typically do my dealers uptown. They're just amazing.
More info at SoilWarrior.com.
Clean fields and higher yields start with a strong battle plan. For soybean growers, there's no stronger ally than Sonic herbicide. When applied pre-emerge, Sonic has proven to defeat yield robbers like water hemp, mare's tail, and giant ragweed. With long-lasting residual control, it keeps fighting to defend your field from invaders. Visit battleweeds.com to plan your attack against weeds. Always read and follow label directions.
Sir, yes, sir!
For over a year, I've been butchering the scripts for the Farmer's Edge ads on my podcast. But hey, it's not my fault. Honestly, they offer too much stuff. On-farm weather stations, that little plastic data transfer thingy they shove in your tractor's port, daily satellite imagery, their integrated farm management software, soil sampling, variable rate technology, it goes on and on and on. And they expect me to do that in one ad. That's why I just say Farmer's Edge. It's a company developed by an agronomist to help make you a better farmer.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today. We're talking about nitrogen stabilizers and using nitrogen responsibly. We want to get the most out of the nitrogen fertilizer that we're investing in for our farms. And there's just so many things that go into that. We talked about a few of them, but we brought on our friend Stephanie Zelenko. She's with AgriLiquid to talk about this a little bit too. Stephanie, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
So how are things going back on the family farm? You get everything out, or has the weather been a challenge for you as well?
Well, the weather was a challenge. Usually we're done by the end of October, and this year it took us till almost Thanksgiving. But with a little bit of extra dedication and hours, when we did have good weather, we got it finished up.
Okay, so what practices should farmers be doing in the fall to try and gauge nitrogen that they're going to be applying for the next crop? Are you doing stock nitrate tests? Do you do soil tests on your farm? What are some of the valuable tools to measure things?
So with us in Michigan, it's really hard to gauge nitrogen in the fall to what we're going to actually have come May or June, just because we get so much snowfall and so much rainfall in the springtime. That we don't really look at fall numbers of what we're going to have in the spring. But I know, you know, at the research station, we have done a lot of things like the stock nitrate test and kind of seeing how our nitrogen plan for that year worked out and use that to help make decisions, you know, that following year and how our nitrogen management plan is going to work.
All right, so we're going into 2019, and not a lot of fall fertility work got done. So a lot of growers are going to be looking at, how do I feed my crop with my planter and at planting time? What can we do with nitrogen? How are you recommending growers safely go about this?
Well, with a nitrogen application, I'm always going to recommend a split application when we're dealing with crops like corn or anything that needs those high gallons of nitrogen. And then putting a little bit out at planting time, and then saving the rest of that for in-season applications, you know, just for the risk of any nitrogen loss. Also, it's just better to feed that crop a little bit of nitrogen as it continuously needs it throughout that growing season.
You know, we get that question a lot with some of the blends that are getting applied, especially in a 2x2. We see growers putting on larger amounts maybe than they're doing in furrow. And the NPK blends, there seems to be something there about feeding a complete blend. Have you seen those differences too?
We have. You know, if you're doing a product like Pro Germinator where it has 9% nitrogen in it, you're going to get a little bit of green up compared to, you know, a starter program or a planter pop-up type fertilizer that doesn't have that nitrogen in it. And usually, you know, that amount of nitrogen you're going to get there is enough for that crop in those early stages. Like I said, it's going to help it look a little bit greener, you know, make you a little bit happier, feel better about your crop when it's coming out of the ground. You know, we have people that will put on larger amounts, 2x2, which is a fine way to do it. When we start talking doing a UAN solution, 28 or 32 in furrow, just a couple gallons with a pop-up, that makes me nervous. I'm afraid we're going to get some stand reduction if we have some, you know, touchy soils or some environmental conditions. And so I like to just stick with what you're going to get out of that planter application and not look at adding any additional nitrogen sources to that in-furrow program.
I agree with you, Stephanie. I just want to err on the side of caution as well. I don't want to take a chance that I can ding my crop up. And, you know, when it comes to P and K, I think a lot of growers are pretty familiar with what you're doing. We've been talking about that for a long time because we use some of the same products on our farm. How about on the nitrogen side with nitrogen stabilizers, with controlled release type nitrogen products? What are you seeing out there for differences, and what kind of information would you like to share?
So there's lots of nitrogen stabilizers on the market. The products that AgriLiquid offers don't necessarily have the same technology as far as stabilization in it, but we do work hard in developing those products to protect them from some of those same losses that, you know, those stabilizers are addressing, things like leaching or volatility. And, you know, just making sure that you have, you know, the right formula and make sure you're not having any negative effects from that can ultimately, you know, cause that nitrogen either to release too quickly or too slowly for when your crop actually will utilize that.
Yeah, if we could just dial it up where we could put on exactly the amount that crop is going to need every day, it would be pretty fun. But obviously that's an ideal world, and we end up with just a few timings a year that we can get through the field. So really appreciate the information. We've been talking with Stephanie Zelenko with AgriLiquid. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We've got Brittany Lowen with us with Corteva right now. Brittany, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We are doing well. Brian was talking about fall nitrogen application, and he said when we were young, our dad would say, well, I better put a few extra pounds on because I'm probably going to lose some. And in the meantime, we've gotten the advent of nitrogen stabilizers that can help us with things, and certainly the education that man, it's probably better to put a lot of our nitrogen out right before the crop needs it. So can you talk to us a little bit about stabilizers, both for anhydrous applications, for liquid and dry applications too?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, you know, from an agronomic perspective, an environmental perspective, and from an economic perspective, we do have better options than just adding more nitrogen out there onto the soil. And we can accomplish those better applications with stabilizers such as Instinct, InServe, and we actually have a new product in our lineup that can help maximize your nitrogen investment. But really the important thing is making sure you're maximizing that nitrogen investment so that you're getting as much time as possible out of it. I know you talked about ideal situation would be kind of spoon feeding that crop, and while that would absolutely be ideal operationally and just risk, that's difficult to do. And so what our stabilizers give you is kind of a mimic scenario in which you're going to get more time, an extended window in which your crop can really take up that nitrogen in a form that it likes to utilize.
You know, in dry land production, especially in the Western Corn Belt where rains come infrequently, growers would say, you know what, even if I could put on my nitrogen a little bit every day, it's just not going to get in there because I'm going to need moisture. So I do need to put out a little stronger dose a few times a year so I've got some time to get some moisture and get that into the crop. You mentioned a new product, and we're hearing about Pinnet Max. What's going on with that? When's it going to be available? And tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, so we are thrilled to launch Pinnet Max. It is our new above-ground nitrogen stabilizer, and it's going to be available for purchase in the U.S. in the spring of 2019. So we'll be ready for the 2019 crop season. And really, it's the most user-friendly above-ground stabilizer that we have on the market. It's going to help improve efficiency as well as obviously take care of that volatility loss.
When you say Pinnet Max, that's P-I-N-N-I-T-M-A-X?
Yep, you got it. So we like to say that we're helping you to pin that nitrogen to the soil rather than losing it through that volatility. So we know that it can gas off when we apply that urea to the soil surface, and so we're helping you to pin it to the soil surface and really maximize your nitrogen investment.
You know, as you look at nitrogen usage across North America, where do you see stabilizers fitting in? Is it a large percentage of the acres? And then we always get the question from growers, at what timing will I benefit most from that? Is it the spring application? Is it the side dress application, or all of the above?
Absolutely. Yeah, so it is a large and growing segment. I think as we've seen corn prices do what they've done over the last few years, understanding our investments and really getting the most out of each and every investment has become a more and more important conversation. And I think stabilizers play a key role in that. Really, from a return on investment, it's one of the best things that you can do in order to make sure that your nitrogen is working as hard as it can for you in terms of stabilizing it. And then you asked in terms of timing, really we see value in adding a stabilizer from a fall application all the way through a side dress application. So you think about a corn plant, and when it really starts to uptake nitrogen, it's not until much later in the season, really that V15 timeframe, which leaves a very large window of susceptibility that our nitrogen can be lost through volatility, through denitrification, and through leaching. So really, no matter if you're applying nitrogen in the fall, in the spring, or even up through side dress, there's going to be environmental conditions that can lead to loss before your crop can really start to uptake that nitrogen. And that's where that stabilizer comes in. It really helps to mitigate that risk and extend your window in which your nitrogen can be there for that plant.
I'm talking with Brittany Lohan here with Corteva, and one of the things that Brittany talked about was a brand new product called Pinnet Max that's going to be coming out in the spring of 2019. Lots of stabilizer choices. Really nice to have another one on the table as well. Brittany, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. We'll be right back after this.
If there's one thing farmers know, it's to expect the unexpected. And when the unexpected happens, you need to change plans right now. Not only does AgroLiquid have the crop nutrition products you need anytime, anywhere your crop would benefit from added nutrition, but we also have an outstanding team of field agronomists ready to help you determine the best use of your fertilizer dollar. Find your winning team at agroliquid.com.
Are you combining around weed patches, waiting for weeds to dry down, or tired of spring burndown failures? Save time, nutrients, and moisture by including a Valor herbicide brand in your fall burndown program. Valor provides excellent residual control of tough weeds, including kochia, mare's tail, prickly lettuce, dandelion, plus suppression of bromes. Proactive, effective weed resistance management starts in the fall. Get a clean start for your next season with Valor herbicide brands. Always read and follow label directions.
In 1949, Morton Buildings constructed our first machine storage building to establish our bond with the farming community. Since then, our relationship has grown, and so have our product offerings. From the smallest specialized operation to the largest agricultural enterprise, we understand the needs of your business and continue to evolve to meet industry demands. Plus, when you build a Morton building, you're backed by the strongest warranty in the business. To learn more about the Morton Advantage, visit us online at MortonBuildings.com.
For over a year, I've been butchering the scripts for the Farmer's Edge ads on my podcast. But hey, it's not my fault. Honestly, they offer too much stuff. On-farm weather stations, that little plastic data transfer thingy they shove in your tractor's port, daily satellite imagery, their integrated farm management software, soil sampling, variable rate technology, it goes on and on and on. And they expect me to do that in one ad. That's why I just say Farmer's Edge. It's a company developed by an agronomist to help make you a better farmer.
Hey, Bill, any advice to control tough weeds and rootworms?
That's easy, Jim. Buy two, save three.
Wait, for weeds and rootworms?
Buy two, save three. Combine your Impact or new Impact Z herbicide purchase with a qualifying insecticide and save $3 per acre.
Buy two, save three. That is good advice.
For details, go to buy2save3.com. Impact, Impact Z, and Buy Two Save Three are trademarks owned by Amvac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Want to turn smart agronomics into smart economics? Go with the all-new Grow Smart Rewards program. 1. Start with a smart agronomic plan. 2. Qualify with the purchase of a participating BASF herbicide. 3. Earn $1+ per acre for each qualifying pair-up brand. Plus, you may qualify for an additional $75 per gallon back on our industry-leading fungicides. For full program details, go to growsmartrewards.com. Grow smart with BASF.
You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. We're broadcasting from the Morton studio today, and we're talking about nitrogen stabilizers and nitrogen use in our crops. And we sure saw some differences across North America with the weather that we had in 2018 and a lot of different management practices and product choices and so forth. So kind of for an overview, we've got Ben Johnson with us with Farmer's Edge. Ben, you get to see a lot of this stuff. I bet 2018 was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
I wish, you know, one thing that would be really cool, and here's something you can work on with satellite imagery. I'd love for you to say, here's a denitrification zone, here's a leaching zone, or something like that, because we definitely saw some nitrogen loss throughout the season.
Yes. So what was really interesting is I was looking at some imagery one day, and I saw some blocks out in a field, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. I better go scout that, you know, as you normally do with imagery. So I went out there and scouted it. One side looked absolutely fine, and then went into another side, which happened to be a different number. And lo and behold, there wasn't just a nitrogen deficiency. There was a massive nitrogen deficiency. So I did a little bit of digging, and I noticed that the one with the deficiency actually had shallower roots than the one that had adequate nitrogen. So I went and I pulled our weather station historical data, and it turns out that obviously we had a lot more rain than we typically had. So what had happened is that the nitrogen actually washed through the soil profile and just deep enough so that the deeper rooted variety could get to that nitrogen and the shallower rooted variety could not. So just literally a game of inches there.
You know, Iowa State's been talking about some of that same type of thing that they noticed where the water table came up in some fields, cutting off the root system and basically killing root hairs at that point. And then the nitrogen pushed down with some of those heavy rains. The roots just couldn't reach it. And at that point, if you still have time to trigger a side dress application to help yourself, getting timely data like that could really pay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the big issue there was this grower, he put all of his nitrogen on up front in the fall, But it kind of burned him this year because if had he been planting a Cydrus application, he could have had some nitrogen there for that shallower-rooted variety. So quite the yield penalty.
No kidding. And, you know, this is one of the things, Ben, for a lot of growers, they say, man, I don't have time to be out in every single field scouting like that. And if I can get a heads up on scouting this particular field because I notice something showing up different on my satellite imagery, that's very helpful. The other thing that's been helpful is the nitrogen management tools that have been developed. And I think this is one of the big ways Digital Ag is able to help farmers.
Absolutely. Yeah. Nitrogen management, through some of our crop models. So we take our weather station network, all the data that comes off of there, and we monitor how much it's been raining and use our model to figure out, all right, how much do you need to side dress for that last application of nitrogen? So that really helps you dial in like exactly how much you need to use to be really efficient with how much that you're putting out there. So you think about your nitrogen budget, you're going to be pretty much spot on when you use that. And then when we talk about being efficient with your budget, that whole environmental conversation, that pretty much goes away, because when you're being efficient with how much you're spending, nothing's going to be floating downstream.
Yeah, you mentioned the nitrogen management tools, and they're evolving all the time because there's a lot of ground truthing that goes into that. How do you do that? How do you manage that?
So what we do is we have a lot of interns that go out and ground truth these tools, and they take just thousands of observations throughout the entire growing season. So it's pretty robust.
Yeah, it is neat because there's a lot of different soil types out there and a lot of different management practices, and we just keep getting closer and closer all the time. We've done some testing on our farm too. Just let's look at what the digital tools are showing us there should be for nitrogen and a nitrogen need, and then let's actually pull some soil samples, which take a little bit of time to get results back depending on how you do it. And when we do, we notice, wow, they're getting a lot closer. I remember back a few years, these tools sometimes were close and sometimes not as close, but it's getting a lot more reliable, and the data is getting pretty useful to drive decisions.
Right, absolutely.
So, you know, Ben, this year, what going into 2019, what are some new things that you're working on in terms of overall management and nitrogen management as well?
Okay. Well, in nitrogen management, you're always hoping that you're ahead of the curve as far as that hidden hunger. But every once in a while, it might get ahead of you. So if you happen to, it's always such a disheartening thing to be driving down the road, looking out across your field, and you see that yellow spot. You're like, oh, shoot, maybe I should have put more nitrogen out there. So one thing that we're doing to get around that is what we call a crop health change notification. So what we do is we take our satellite imagery, and then we compare that image to another image from that same field just a few days earlier. And if they're different enough, we will draw a wireframe around the part of the field that has a negative health change, and we'll send an alert to your phone, actually in an email. And what you can do is you open up the email, and instead of looking through your entire operations worth of imagery, just alert you just to a few fields. And you look at those images, and maybe it's a sand spot that you knew was going to dry up because it hasn't rained in 2 weeks. But it might be a spot that you wouldn't expect a negative health change because it's a pretty good spot in the field. So not only are you being more efficient with your time, but you're finding all of your issues. And so you can go right to your issues, pull up the images right on your phone, and walk right out to them. So pretty simple.
Yeah, that is really good. And I agree with you, especially on nitrogen. You don't want it to get ahead of you. You got to be after this thing all the way through to make sure your crop has plenty of food to produce the kind of yield that you want. Been talking with Ben Johnson with Farmer's Edge. Ben, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on today.
You bet.
You know, Brian, you mentioned a couple of things here that we hit on, and there are times where nitrogen is going to be even more likely to be in jeopardy. And we look like this year where we were wet, and we look at just some of the ways that nitrogen got put on. And I'm thinking about going into 2019 here where a lot of tillage didn't get done. There's a lot of wet fields out there. It's a year where spring application of nitrogen could be a little iffy.
Yeah, and what a lot of people ask is, should I use a nitrogen stabilizer when I'm applying in the spring? I get it that I need to do it in the fall, but how about if I'm putting it on in the spring? Well, again, you kind of have to look at some of our factors. So if you're going to put it on, let's say, mid-season, and there are already crop roots there, you know that you're, and let's say, too, that you're putting it literally in the ground, and your crop is growing tremendously, and you're only putting 50 or 80 pounds of nitrogen on, well, nitrogen stabilizer isn't as likely to pay. But if you're going to do it pre-plant, so it's going to be at least a month before your crop needs hardly any nitrogen, plus, let's say you lay it on the soil surface. Well, if you lay it on the soil surface, you probably better have something to protect you from volatilization, unless it's going to rain in the next couple of days. If you have a little bit lighter soil, if you're kind of pushing it for how much nitrogen you're putting on compared to your soil, I mean, there are a number of different reasons why you may still want to use a nitrogen stabilizer, even if you're applying in the spring.
Well, that spring application, you're putting on oftentimes a pretty good rate. And like,
it all depends. That was my whole point. How high a rate are you putting on?
Well, Brittany Lowen was on from Corteva, and she was talking about, you know, the big uptake of nitrogen in corn, for example, just use corn, is fairly late in the season.
It's around tassel time. So for us, you're talking in July.
It's a long ways from when we planted that crop in April or very early May.
Right.
And that's the thing, is you just have this large time window that you have to account for.
Yep. And you have to absolutely look at the area of the country that you're in or the area of the world that you're in. What's your local environment? So let's say I'm in central South Dakota and I normally get 14 inches of rain a year
and
I have very heavy soil. Okay.
Yeah, no worry. But here's,
and I inject the nitrogen.
But
yeah,
you have this, worried. Brian. You have wild pHs. So what if your pH is 8.5? Or what if your pH is 5.0? That changes a little bit too.
A little. Yeah, that could create some problems also.
All right, we'll talk a little more about some of these situations with nitrogen where you may make some changes on your farm and where you may consider the use of a nitrogen stabilizer as well. We'll also be taking your calls and questions at 844-44-AG-PHD. Stay tuned.
Are you combining around weed patches, waiting for weeds to dry down, or tired of spring burndown failures? Save time, nutrients, and moisture by including a Valor herbicide brand in your fall burndown program. Valor provides excellent residual control of tough weeds, including kochia, marestail, prickly lettuce, dandelion, plus suppression of bromes. Proactive, effective weed resistance management starts in the fall. Get a clean start for your next season with Valor herbicide brands. Always read and follow label directions.
If there's one thing farmers know, it's to expect the unexpected. And when the unexpected happens, you need to change plans right now. Not only does AgroLiquid have the crop nutrition products you need anytime, anywhere your crop would benefit from added nutrition, but we also have an outstanding team of field agronomists ready to help you determine the best use of your fertilizer dollar. Find your winning team at agroliquid.com.
Are you frustrated with white mold showing up year after year in your soybeans? If you have tried fungicide applications and are still losing yield to white mold, now is the time to ask your seed dealer about Heads Up Plant Protectant. Heads Up is the first EPA-registered seed treatment for the prevention of white mold in soybeans and pulse crops. The first line of defense on your farm against white mold now starts with the right seed treatment package. Locate a Heads Up dealer near you by visiting headsupst.com today.
You need a powerful herbicide to fight the war on weeds. Vellum is Rotam North America's mesotrione herbicide, and it fights against the annual broadleaf weeds attacking your cornfields. Winning this battle means higher yields, lower cost to you, and maximized profitability. For long-lasting residual weed control, check out Evinco Vilify and our newest mix, Rixa. For application, flexibility, and season-long control, that's Evinco Vilify and Rixa, powered by Vellum. For more information, visit vellumherbicide.com. That's B-E-L-L-U-M herbicide.com.
Clean fields and higher yields start with a strong battle plan. For soybean growers, there's no stronger ally than Sonic herbicide. When applied pre-emerge, Sonic has proven to defeat yield robbers like water hemp, mare's tail, and giant ragweed. With long-lasting residual control, it keeps fighting to defend your field from invaders. Visit battleweeds.com to plan your attack against weeds. Always read and follow label directions.
Sir, yes, sir!
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Listening to Ag PhD Radio. We're talking nitrogen stabilizers on today's program. I'm broadcasting from the Morton studio today and taking your calls and questions at 844-44-AG-PHD. You can also send us an email, radio@agphd.com, or find us on Twitter, AgPhD Media, Brian Hefty or Darren Hefty. Brian, we get a lot of questions about cation exchange capacity, and you were just mentioning here before the break about heavy soils, especially where you don't get an overabundance of rainfall, being a little bit different. Can you talk just a little about cation exchange capacity and why that's important to look at on a soil test?
No, but I can talk a lot about it. One of the things...
Well, that's true about everything. And I hope you can appreciate this as a listener to our show, that when I open the door to Brian, that clearly means the door is shut for me for probably the next 5 to 10 minutes. So I did open a door. He is excited. So here goes.
All right. So one of the things we want you, well, first of all, let me step back. We really highly encourage you to always be taking soil tests at least every 2 to 4 years. If you're making major changes, maybe even testing every year. We're doing some of that on our farm. One of the things we want you to test for is called cation exchange capacity. And here's the reason why. Because we'll talk to farmers in, let's say, Alabama. I was talking to a farmer from Alabama just a couple of days ago. Heavy soil for that guy is like an 8 cation exchange capacity. I would consider that the sandiest soil I've ever farmed. If it's funny, I was in Canada recently doing a workshop up there, and I had a farmer come up and he goes, yeah, I want you to take a look at my light ground. And it was a 33 cation exchange capacity. 33 for a farmer in even Iowa. You're going to say, wow, that's heavy soil. Okay. So the purpose of having cation exchange capacity is now we're all on the same playing field. Now I know exactly what you're talking about. We have a better understanding of what the soil can hold. Cation exchange capacity is just simply how much of anything can your soil hold? How much water, how many nutrients, herbicide, all these types of things. So I just want you to understand the importance of having that cation exchange capacity number. Cation exchange capacity isn't going to change much over the life of your farm. It's based on the measurement of the type of clay, the amount of clay, and the amount of organic matter in your soil. We can't change the type of clay or the amount of clay that you have, but you can change the amount of organic matter over a long period of time. So what I'm trying to say is if you say, well, I've got a 15 CEC and I'd really like it to be a little heavier. Okay, well, over the next 20 years, you can probably bump that up just a little bit by increasing your organic matter levels. Is it going to ever get to 30? Not a chance. Could it get to 18? Yeah, that's certainly possible. Okay, so you see where I'm going with all this. Here is one of the things we want you to use that CEC for. Take the number times 10. So let's say that your CEC, your cation exchange capacity, is 12. Take 12 times 10, that's roughly 120 pounds that your soil can hold in terms of nitrogen at any one time. Now, nitrogen can change forms, like we've talked about with ammonium and nitrate and everything else. And you could get record rainfall, you could have no rainfall. I mean, there are a lot of factors that are going to enter into this. So this is not an exact rule. All right. But this just gives you a general guideline. That's all we're talking about. And the reason why we like talking about this is because we do have farmers all the time that say, yeah, I really want to put 200 pounds of nitrogen. I'm going for a big time corn yield this next year. And I go, oh, boy, that sounds great. What's your CEC? And they'll say 8. And I go, wait a second. You're probably already sitting with 20, 30, 40 pounds in the soil. You want to put another 200 pounds on. That's going to bump you up to 220 to 240. And you got an 8 CEC. When I multiply that out, I say, my soil, I feel pretty comfortable holding about 80 pounds. Now you've put on 3 times what that soil could possibly hold. That doesn't sound like a very wise management decision, especially when, number one, we're concerned about the environment, and number two, we're concerned about our pocketbooks. We don't want to have to go put a whole bunch more nitrogen on later when we've already spent the money early. So when we see that, yes, we've got a light soil, we have a low cation exchange capacity number, well, that's going to trigger me thinking right away, hey, you know what? A nitrogen stabilizer probably has a better chance to pay here. It does. If I've got super heavy soil, there's probably a little bit less chance that nitrogen stabilizer will pay when we start talking about leaching. Now, there's also denitrification. When I get into, let's say it is that farmer from Canada that I was talking to, who his lightest ground is 33 for cation exchange capacity.
Yeah, that was sandy ground. He said, that's my sandy ground.
It was funny.
With I'm a like, cation exchange capacity I'm like,
well, there's probably a little bit of sand in there. But I would not call that sandy ground at a 33 CEC. That is super crazy heavy ground. And the odds with the rainfall you have in that area, this was south of Winnipeg or west of Winnipeg. Anyway, in that area, for as little rainfalls you get and as cold as your soil usually is, the odds that you're going to leach a whole bunch out, probably about slim to none. Now, denitrification, that could be a concern. Or let's say that I am worried I'm going to lay it on the soil surface. Well, then I may be worried about volatilization. All right. So I'm just trying to say there are 3 different forms of nitrogen loss, and you have to analyze what am I most at risk for on my farm. Yeah, if I've got light soil, if I've got high water tables, boy, leaching's a big concern. If I've got super heavy soil, and sometimes I do get an abundance of rain and I don't have great drainage, well, then I'm worried about denitrification. If I lay it on the soil surface and it's going to be at least a couple days before I get rain, well, then I'm worried about volatilization loss. And the nice thing here, too, is there are different types of nitrogen stabilizers. There are some. You can go with a cheap AgriTain that'll just protect you from volatilization loss. Okay, that's great. But if you're thinking in your head it's going to help you for denitrification or leaching, well, you got the wrong product. Okay, and this does happen because guys will say, well, I just want the cheap one. Give me the cheap one. Well, you got to understand what the cheap one does. The cheap one doesn't help you in what you may have wanted it to do. So this is where all these things kind of tie back together. You got to look at cation exchange capacity, your water tables, how much rainfall you get, how you're putting the nitrogen on, and certainly how much nitrogen you're putting on and when it is applied. So on our own farm, we have made a major change here in the last 10 years. We used to put a lot of stuff on in the fall, and I wouldn't mind putting some on in the fall if it was anhydrous and if my anhydrous price was good, but I'm not going to put a lot on. Then I'll probably put a little bit on at planting time, and then it's going to be side dress. And right now, we can get by with our heavy ground with 1 side dress shot. Someday, and the day will come where maybe it's our grandkids, Darren, are raising 400 bushel corn, they're going to have to make 2 or maybe even 3 applications I hate to use the word post-emerge because that makes you think I'm going to do it over the top of the crop, but a side dress type application at 2 or 3 different times during the course of the summer.
All right. You know, there are a lot of things along those lines. We got a few questions that I want to get to. We had
Wait, whoa. You want to be done with nitrogen stabilizer thing?
No, it's just all nitrogen questions.
Well, yeah, but still, I had one other thing that I wanted to throw out there.
When I
just was saying you might have to apply 2 or 3 times, Darren, you probably remember this. We had David Hula, who's the world record corn producer,
yes,
on our farm. The first time he ever came up here was probably 5, 6 years ago, and he spoke at our Ag PhD field day, and we asked him, for his world record corn that year, roughly 500 bushels, how many times were you out there applying nitrogen? What did he say?
I believe he said 13. And what was interesting to growers, because right away
I was thinking it was 11, but all I knew was some crazy number.
It was a really high number. And right away the follow-up response was, well, how many pounds did you put out there? That had to be just a ton. Well, he put on, I think, exactly twice as much as the farmer that asked the question, and the farmer raised 200 bushel corn. And he's like, what? That's all? He's like, yeah, I got more than double your yield with only double your nitrogen. So my nitrogen efficiency was actually better than what yours was, the farmer who had asked him the question. And he's like, how did you do that? And he's like, well, there's a lot more that goes into it than just that. But still, it was very interesting because where he's at on the East Coast and in a very sensitive watershed area.
And in very light soils.
And in light soils, he could only spoon feed that nitrogen. So that was his choice, to put small doses out many times during the year to achieve what he wanted to achieve. All right, we got a number of questions that have been coming in around nitrogen. We're going to get to those here right after this short break. And if you have a question, you can give us a call at 844-44-AG-PHD. We'll be right back.
Tired of having to babysit your grain bins, waiting to manually turn on fans until the weather's just right? Have you ever kicked yourself for losing an opportunity to better manage your stored grain? Operating the fans on your bins just got a lot easier with the Steps GMS app. The Steps GMS temperature humidity switch is a low-cost solution that allows you to operate bin fans according to your specifications. For more information, find us on Twitter at StepsGMS or visit us at StepsGMS.com.
Every farmer knows that in order to be profitable, you need to maximize the return on your crop input investments. Hi, I'm Scott Harms, an AgriSk specialist with Grain PhD. Without an effective and flexible strategy, your grain marketing plan gets stuck in the mud. With Grain PhD, you get the clarity and guidance a solid marketing plan needs. Our free GrainBridge software simplifies your cost profit analysis, and our risk specialists are here to help you develop your plan. Sign up today at GrainPhD.com.
Your independent spirit is more rewarding than ever before. Unlike incentive programs that require growers to purchase a particular seed brand or to bundle certain products, the FMC Freedom Pass program rewards you for making the best choices for your fields. You decide what's best for your operation, from pre-plant to harvest. Your retailer and FMC take care of the rest. It's really that simple. The exclusive agronomic rewards, performance assurances, application innovations, and product financing of the FMC Freedom Pass program make it easier to protect your crops and cash flow. That's what we mean when we say we give you more freedom in the field. You'll experience more control and confidence, too. Generics and imitators can't promise that. Visit your authorized FMC retailer or FMCFreedomPass.com to calculate your potential financial incentive and learn more.
Bean growers continue to see yield loss from white mold across the Midwest this season. To maximize next year's crop, a white mold prevention strategy that includes Contans WG soil fungicide is a must for your farming operation. Applying Contans this fall to reduce the sclerotia in the soil is the most effective way to stop white mold at its source. Go to whitemoldcontrol.com to learn more about the Contans No Risk Guarantee. Start a Contans white mold control strategy this fall or pay for it later in lost yield.
Want to cut production costs without losing yield? The Soil Warrior can reduce trips across the field, optimize nutrient placement, and improve soil health. So you can lower production costs without losing yield. See what makes the Soil Warrior different and better at SoilWarrior.com.
The Guardian Air Twin Spray Nozzle from HyPro produces a twin spray pattern with air-inducted droplets for superior coverage, even in dense canopies. Be effective and efficient with your spray application this season with the Guardian Air Twin. HyPro, helping you spray better.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio, broadcasting from the Morton Studio today. We're talking nitrogen on our show today. We've got Eric with us right now up in North Dakota. He's an agronomist and a farmer up there. Eric, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, we were talking about nitrogen in heavy soils, and you certainly have some soils up there that that have to be contended with in southern North Dakota. What are some of the strategies that you're using with nitrogen stabilizers and nitrogen application timings to help growers and to help yourselves on your own farm?
I guess just in the past, even 2 years ago, we switched to doing some Y-dropping on some acres just to spread your risk out, because we typically have been getting a lot of heavy rains in June, and so to prevent, losing those acres or just losing nitrogen, we try and spread it out. But this year we had a big wind event come through and laid a bunch of corn over, so we were not able to Y-drop it, so we had to put it on a different way. But that's kind of the main thing that guys are doing, or just adding stabilizers if they put urea or anhydrous on in the fall.
The fall application this year was pretty tough to do. So for quite a few of the guys, I'm betting they're going to have to switch and make some alternate plans already.
Yeah, there was very little. I don't know, I'd say maybe 20% of normal, maybe 30% of normal. So that's going to make for a tough spring for logistics-wise, for trucking and all that, for storage. And we're going to have a very cooperative spring to get everything done when you want to.
It sounds like there may be a lot of nitrogen demand in your state as well. Do you want to talk about acre shifts and things guys are thinking about in your part of the country?
I think the corn and wheat will both be, corn definitely will be up a little bit, just with uncertainty in the bean market, but wheat will probably be flat to maybe slightly higher. The biggest thing is I would say corn would increase some. And, corn can only increase so much. If the guys that are set up for corn for the storage and handling of it, they'll increase. Mainly corn is the one that's going to go up.
Hey, you mentioned the Y-drop application, and that's something that we do get a lot of questions about. What's been your experience so far? What have you noticed things in the crop? Do you have any data or any trials that you've been doing?
I just tried it 2 years ago. 2 years ago was the first year I did it, and I didn't do a lot of it. I kind of just wanted to try some out on a few acres, and I didn't take anything to take that back. I did take one of them to yield, and there was a jump up. I can't remember the specific numbers right off the top of my head, but it's more for just limiting risk, I guess, is you can't get across everything in the spring, and like in a fall like this, when you can't get a lot of flowers, then it's really going to help next year when I can set up to do the Y-dropping and just be able to get the crop planted as soon as you can and come back later and do some Y-dropping.
What about in wheat? What are you doing there for a nitrogen program? Do you do a lot of fall work, or do you do stuff in the spring or stream barring or something in crop?
We haven't done any of the stream barring. It's typically been just fall anhydrous in front of wheat, but this year that never got done, and so we'll just top dress or we'll spread urea before planting. And I guess some years, if it looks like a really good wheat crop, I'll have the local pilot here fly some more urea on the stream to help increase protein and yield. And that's worked out really good, actually.
Yeah, the wheat guys have got some pretty decent programs to try to get the nitrogen out there at the right time. Like you mentioned, influencing protein and influencing yield with that late application. And we're definitely hearing some growers trying that on corn, too, in certain areas of the country in different situations. So lots of different ways to play the nitrogen game and hopefully to win in your certain area. Been talking with Eric. He's up in North Dakota. He's an agronomist and a farmer up there. Eric, thanks for joining us.
Yep, thank you. Take care.
Brian, we had a few other questions come in, and maybe we want to hit those in the mailbag.
It's the mailbag!
All right. One was about side dress. I think we talked about that just a little bit there, but I had a question come in about pasture. What do you think about timing of nitrogen application and potential use of stabilizers in pasture situations?
The only thing I would be thinking about would possibly be volatility. I'm really in a pasture. I'm not worried about leaching. I'm not worried about denitrification. I'm not going to put out some crazy amount. Like I'm going to go out there in April and put enough on for an entire 6 months or anything like that. It's just like in your lawn. What's the best way to handle that? Probably once a month going out there with nitrogen. Well, how many ranchers want to do that and go out there every single month? Not many. But at least I'd be thinking about you know, not doing the entire year's worth of nitrogen, spoon feeding just a little bit. And the only nitrogen stabilizer I would probably do would be for volatility.
All right. Another question. What about soybeans? When will nitrogen pay in soybeans? And since the soybeans can produce so much of their own N, do you need a stabilizer for the small amount you may apply?
Probably not, but you don't need a tremendous amount of nitrogen for soybeans. That said, if you don't have great conditions for good nodulation, then you're going to need more nitrogen. So for example, let's say that you have poor drainage, you've got crazy heavy soil, you have an 8.5 soil pH, and you have nutrients out of balance, and you have 0.5% organic matter. Okay, in that case, instead of like in a normal good soil, we would figure soybean bacteria, the rhizobia bacteria can produce about 70% of the soybeans needs. Well, if you have the soil conditions I just mentioned, you might be down to 40 or 50% of the soybean plant's needs. So, you know, it's going to vary depending on your conditions. What I usually tell people is if you've got high organic matter levels and you're only going for 50, 60, 70 bushel beans, the odds that you're going to apply a bunch of nitrogen and have that pay in soybeans are probably pretty slim. Because don't forget, out of organic matter comes a lot of free nitrogen. And it comes all throughout the season, especially later in the season when soybean plants take up a lot of nitrogen, like in August. So if I had, let's say, 100 bushel beans that I'm trying to go for, lower organic matter levels, that's probably where, and maybe, like, again, some of these bad soil conditions, that's probably where nitrogen's going to pay the best. And you got to look at the timing there. If you're going to put it on real early, yeah, you might need a stabilizer if you wanted to put 50 or 100 pounds on. But what a lot of guys will do is they'll just wait and put that nitrogen on a little bit later in the season, or they'll use something like ammonium sulfate that's to some degree a controlled release nitrogen.
All right, another question that came in. What about putting out liquid nitrogen with pre-emerge herbicides? Do I need a stabilizer? And is there anything else I should be concerned about there in terms of rate, et cetera?
Volatility, you absolutely want to take a look at that. If you're just laying it on the soil surface, if you're incorporating, probably not. And it just depends on how much nitrogen you're putting out again and what your soil type is and your rainfall. So it goes to all the things we've already talked about.
All right, another thing. How much nitrate should be left at the end of the season in corn? I think you may have mentioned this, but I don't think I caught the number.
Well, the concern I have is if you're down to 5 pounds, 3 pounds, did you have enough to finish out the crop? I seriously doubt it. I would probably like to see at least 20 to 40 pounds left in my soil, maybe even 60. Here again, it's all going to depend on your environment, your soil, that type of thing. But you got to have at least something left. Otherwise, the odds are you didn't maximize yield.
Okay, another question. I've only used nitrogen stabilizers on fall applications before. Could you please go over your list of factors that you discussed where nitrogen stabilizers are more important to use and more likely to give me a good return?
Okay, I'll go over the 9 things one more time. When nitrogen rates are high, that's when stabilizers are more likely to pay. Also, when nitrogen prices are high, in lower cation exchange capacity soils or lighter soils, when nitrogen sits on top of the soil more than a couple days, when nitrogen is applied far ahead of when it's going to be used, when soil pH is outside the range of roughly 6.3 to 7.3, when temperatures are warm, in wetter years, and when you have environmental concerns.
All right, another question that came in. If I have a heavy soil and most of my nitrogen is going to be utilized a little later in the season, what percentage of nitrogen should I put out in my planting time application?
Well,
there's no guarantee you'll make it back in the field. That's one thing 2018 taught us, that if you don't have it out there and you just can't get in the field because it's too wet or windy.
If it finally took 2018
whatnot,
to teach you that, you haven't been paying attention to farming much. You know what I mean?
If you've got a short memory, just remember this year.
Here's our concern. We have heavy soil, not a lot of rainfall. Very common for us to go 1 to 2 months with no rain. So we've got to get some stuff out there early. If I've got a 25 cation exchange capacity and I only need 150 pounds of nitrogen for my crop, why am I not putting most of that out early? So in that case, I'm probably going to put 100% out early. But if I had a 5 CEC, then there's no way I'm going to put 150 pounds out. So it all depends on your soil.
Thanks for all those questions today, and thanks for listening to our show. Be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio. Now stay tuned for Rob Sharkey and Shark Farmer Radio.